Hi, and welcome to the Church Unlimited podcast. Church Unlimited is a vibrant, Bible-based church in North Lakes, Queensland that is passionate about helping people discover the genuine love of Jesus. If you're currently looking for a home church, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship. For more information about our Sunday service or to find out how we can best help you, head to our website at churchunlimited.com.au. We hope you enjoy this message from Sunday service.
This morning, if you've been with us at church for the last little bit, we've been talking about church on mission as a church and kind of what is our mission as a church. And we've been reading from Matthew 4 verses 19 where it says, "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And that covers kind of what we've been talking about knowing God, belonging into his family, growing to be like him, serving him, and then telling others about him. And last week, Pastor James brought a great message about growing to be like Jesus. And so this morning, I get the opportunity to be able to talk to you about what I think is one of the most attractive things in church, serving. Right? I know you're all super excited about that. I want to start this morning. Let me tell you about a story. This is a true story. I don't wish I made this up because it's a pretty good story. But as I tell the story, you're going to be thinking this is a made-up story, but I promise you it's absolutely not. When I was a younger man, I had a lot more up here and a lot less here, but I was always this height. I was stuck with that. But when I was a younger man, I was a supervisor at a confectionery warehouse up in Townsville, and it's as good as it sounds. It really is. When I say that there's a lot more here than there used to be, it's because you would take home boxes of chocolates every week, and I mean boxes of chocolates every week, not just like a Mars bar here and there. But it was one of the coolest jobs I've ever had, being able to be a supervisor of a confectionery warehouse. And I remember one day on a Saturday, my older brother worked with us for a little bit at that same warehouse. And on a Saturday, leading up to Christmas, sometimes we would come in on a Saturday and we'd work and we'd pack boxes and pack orders ready for the shops, you know, for the busy season over Christmas time. I never worked on Saturdays, but I remember one Saturday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call from my brother saying, "Ray, we've been robbed. The warehouse has been robbed. I need you to come in now. I don't know what's going on. I need you to come and have a look what's going on." And I was ticked because it was a Saturday and I was in bed at 6 o'clock in the morning. And he called me and didn't call the owner of the warehouse or the manager even. He called me. And so I was a bit annoyed. I headed it in and opened up the door to our office, and it was like the place had just been hit by a tornado. There was paperwork everywhere. There was computer screens everywhere. There was chairs had been turned up, and it was crazy. It was like the place had been robbed. And so straight away, I'm thinking, what on earth has happened here? Like, and again, why did he call me? Why didn't he call the owner? So anyway, so what I did is I called the boss of the place. His name was Mick, and Mick wasn't a bad person. He wasn't a great boss. He would, how would I say, was a bit more of the dodgy variety of bosses. And so I called Mick. I said, "Mick, this place has been robbed. Like, you need to get in here ASAP." And he said, "What's happened?" And so I take a photo of the office and I tell him, you know, it's been broken into. But none of the, like, door alarms had been set off. There was no breaking, like, no point of breaking and entering. And we checked the safe and the money was all there. And I said, "But something's clearly happened. We've been robbed." And the phone went silent for about a good 10 seconds. And I was like, "Mick, are you still there, mate?" He goes, "Oh, no, he's gotten out." And I'm sitting there thinking, he's gotten out. Who is he and why? Where has he gotten out from? And he goes, and I said, "Mick, what are you talking about?" He goes, "Oh, Leanne's going to kill me." Leanne was his wife. And so me and my brother are sitting there going, what on earth is he on about? He's gotten out. And so then he's like, I'm on my way now. And so then we're standing around with broomsticks going, I don't know who he is, but if he comes out, we're ready for him. Apparently, he doesn't need to break through doors. But anyway, and then Mick comes in, and it turns out, I'm not condoning this activity, but it turns out my boss, Mick, used to race greyhounds, right? And one way that they would help train the greyhounds was they would blood them on animals, right? It's not a lovely thing at all. And what Mick used to do was catch possums and keep them in the warehouse. Keep them in a confectionery warehouse, right? He thought it was a great idea. Like I said, he was of the dodgy variety. And so we spent the day cleaning up a warehouse and catching possums. It was a good time. And then I remember being there the whole day. I didn't get paid for the day at all. I just kind of stuck around and helped out. And I remember spending the last few hours of that day sitting with my boss, Mick. And he said, "Why didn't you just tell Derek to call me and not put up with it. And I said, oh, well, sometimes, you know, we just all get in, we help each other. That's what we do. It's not about being selfish. It's about helping those around us. And I actually got for the next hour to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. And I got the opportunity to be able to share with him why I do what I do and why we're put on this earth. After that, at the end of the day, he said, so do you reckon I could start keeping possums at your house if you're such a good guy? The answer was no. I tell you that story to tell you that sometimes serving can seem like not a great, like a mundane thing. Oh, I've got to come and tick my religious box to serve. But serving is actually not about necessarily what it does for other people, but also what it does in you. See, for me, I got that opportunity to be able to sit with Mick and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I went home that day, and I'd never been more excited to help other people in my life. And it was at that moment that my thought and my thought behind serving totally flipped on its head. And there was actually that there was joy to be found in serving, not just in ticking a box or just, I'm rusted on today, I need to tick a box. And so when we talk about serving, there's so much joy that can be found in serving. And finding purpose. And if we look in the Bible, who was the greatest example of servanthood is Jesus, right? If we look in Matthew 20, verses 28, it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many. See, during Jesus' life, he served the poor. He taught the gospel. He fed the hungry. He washed the feet of his disciples. He healed the sick, even raised people from the dead. See, Jesus loved serving others. He was the perfect example of service. And as Christians, we're called to be more like Jesus, to be more like Christ, to love others more, to seek the Lord more. But sometimes when it comes to serving others, we're happy for somebody else to do that. We're happy for, oh no, that's okay, I'll let those people do that. I'll let somebody else be the nice guy. I'll come to church and I will attend church. And I'll let serving is for the other people, the talented people, right? Can I tell you that there's so much joy that can be found in serving the Lord? Every single one of us want our lives to matter, right? We want to have purpose in our life. It's the reason why we do everything that we do. For some of us, it's the reason why we work the job that we work, because we want to have purpose. We want to find what is our reason for being here. It's why we strive for promotions or for wealth or for influence. It's so, because we want our lives to mean something. We want it to be all for something, right? You know, for me, I'm a father of two young kids, and I'm encouraging my kids to do well at school. I want my kids to go to uni and make a lot of money so that they can look after me. No. I want my kids to go to uni and do well and have that job that they've always wanted, because I want their lives to mean something. I want them to feel a sense of purpose, which is why we're bringing them up in the house of God, right? There's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with influence. There's nothing wrong with all those things, but you've got to understand that's not what we're made for. What we were made for is to worship God. What we were made for is to make disciples of the nations of those around us. And we talk about being called of God. And can I tell you right now, we're all called of God here. And if you're sitting here going, I don't know what my calling is, it's to see the lost saved. It's to make disciples of those around us. And so I said it before, we were made to worship. And what does this all have to do with serving? Well, serving is actually a form of worship. See, we've been trained to think that worship is the first 20 minutes of every service at church, right? What Lizzie and the team were doing, and we've been trained to think that worship starts at 8:35 after I've got my coffee and I can walk in and I catch the last bit of this music. That's worship, right? That's worship, right? Worship is so much more than that. We've even been taught, and I agree with this wholeheartedly, that when we're giving of our tithes and our offerings, that's part of our worship. It 100% is, but that's not the only way that we worship God. See, when we serve, that's actually a form of our worship. And we can find, I don't know about you, but whenever I get to sit in worship and we're led in worship by Liz Green and the team, and I find so much joy in that, and I'm jumping around. I get excited because I'm worshiping Jesus. But sometimes after I've had a big week looking after the kids on school holidays, when Pastor Charlotte asked me to serve in the kids' ministry, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's not much joy in that. But can I tell you, when we start to see our serving as worship to God, there's so much joy and so much purpose that can be found in that. And so I'm here to tell you that joy can be found in serving in every areas of your life. Now, today I'm not just talking about serving on a Sunday in a church context. That is a big part of it also. But I'm talking about, what are we doing to serve those in our world? What are we doing to serve those in our workplace, serve those in our family, in our household as well? See, when we think of serving, it's all about others. Others are encouraged. Others are lifted up. Others are given the opportunity to hear the gospel, like I spoke about before. But there is so much more in serving that we can get out of it as well. Can we be a little bit selfish when we're serving? There's so much joy to be found in serving. There's so much that we can get out of serving. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about the joys of serving. Or what does serving do in me? And now I just want to just relax. This is not a sign on Sunday. Right, like some of you are sitting there going, oh, Razor's trying to get me on team. That's not what I'm trying to do this morning. If at any point you feel like, oh, Razor's trying to get me on team, you're off the hook, okay? It's okay. You don't have to join team today. And maybe you're already serving on team and you're thinking, oh, well, I serve on team. I do my part. I don't need to listen this morning. We need to listen, right? Good. Thanks, Ron. This morning is for everybody because it's not about the part that we play or what we're doing. It's about the joy that we can get from it. It's about what can God do through us when we are serving. And so this is not a sign on Sunday. You're off the hook. It's okay. I do hope that you are encouraged. But this morning is just about me encouraging you. Find the joy in what you do. Find the joy in the purpose that you've been put here to do. Find the joy in working, in serving others, sorry. And so this morning, my first point is, what can we get out of serving? Is serving helps us be more like Jesus. As Christians, we're called to be more like Christ each and every day, right? The Greek meaning for the word Christian is follower of Christ, to follow Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1, Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. He's saying that we're to strive to be more and more like Christ. I don't know, but have you ever noticed in the scripture that it says be imitators of Christ, not impersonators of Christ, right? Or impressionists of Christ, right? I was thinking about that this week. Impressionists or impersonators, there's like a negative connotation put with it. Like somebody's you're trying to pretend to be somebody else. You're trying to put on a show and act. You're trying to be something that you're not. When Paul says to be imitators of Christ, we're to strive to be like an imitator is somebody who copies behaviors, languages, the way that people act, the way that people dress and speak, not in an attempt to put on a show or an act, but in a genuine attempt to be more like that person. Let me put it like this. You would have seen on TV, maybe it's on Instagram or TikTok or whatever you're on, comedians who often do like impressions of people, right? A big one that was big in the last few years is everyone's got an impression of Donald Trump. Right? Like, has everyone seen an impression of Donald? I don't, personally. I thought about doing one, but that would be not beneficial for anybody in this room. But they'll do impressions of Donald Trump or do impressions of different celebrities and stuff like that. And can I tell you, it's not because they want to be like it. Generally, it's in a negative way to try to, like, take the mickey out of them or to try to bring them down. That's not what we're called to do, right? We're called to imitate Christ. I've got two young kids. I've got a little boy, Matthew, who is 8, and a little girl, Sailor, who is 4. And my beautiful little girl, Sailor, at the moment, is at that age. And if you're a parent with a kid this age, you'll understand what I mean. She's at that age where dad is everything. She just wants to be like dad. Now, I didn't get that the first few years. It was all about mom and mama. But now it's like it's all about dad. Yesterday, we had a funny moment where we're sitting around home. And my son, Matthew, and I were throwing around this little squishy toy around the house, just throwing it at the wall and seeing what happened, and I pegged it as hard as I could, and it bounced off the wall and it smacked Sailor right in the face, and I laughed too. It was funny, and she burst into tears straight away and looked at Mum, and Mum was sitting right next to her and looked at Jess and just started crying and just said, "What's wrong, babe?" And she ran off, wanted nothing to do with Mum, just ran off, and I'm trying not to laugh, and my son Matt, he's killing himself laughing too, and I went and found, so I said, "Sailor, come over here, babe. What's wrong? She comes straight to me and says, "Matt threw this toy at me and hit me in the face." And I was like, I had a decision then. I had a decision to, I could push the blame here and nobody would know. I could just blame Matthew. She's not talking to him anyway. She's not talking to Jess. Jess will never know. But I took the blame for it. And I was like, "Oh, babe, that was actually me. I did that accident." She goes, "Oh, that's okay, Dad." And everyone was happy again, right? She loves Dad. It's the best thing ever. It's so good. Poor Maddie was like, "Oh, how come she's okay when you hurt her, but not when I?" But that's okay. But my little girl wants to be like me so much. If we're about to go down the shops and she'll notice I've come downstairs and I'm wearing my Cowboys jersey, she'll say, "Cowboys!" And she'll run upstairs and go put her Cowboys jersey on, right? Or if we're going out to the shops and I said, "Sailor, can you put your, are you going to wear shoes or thongs today, babe?" And she'll go, "What are you wearing, Dad?" I said, "I'm wearing thongs." She goes, "I wear thongs too." And so you walk out of the house wearing thongs together. It's cute as. Last Sunday night, we came to church, and I had my kids with me on the front row. Jess was leading worship, and I got to have my kids with me, and we're sitting in worship, and I've lifted my hands in worship, and I look down just to make sure my kids are not throwing food at the stage or something like that. And I look down, and Sailor had a, she looked up at me and then lifted her hands up and started, so beautiful, right? My little girl just wants to do everything she can. She's striving just to be like Dad, right? Whatever she can do to be like Dad, that's what she wants to do. She'll go and put that Cowboy shirt on. She'll go and put shoes on if I'm wearing shoes. She'll blame Matt if I hurt her, right? Like, she watches what I do and strives to be like me in every moment. And see, as Christians, we're called to do the same with Christ. We're called to imitate Christ. We're called to do the same as what Jesus did. And so when it comes to serving, it shouldn't just be one of those things, well, I've got to tick my religious obligation. Boom, they rostered me on cafe this week, I'm going to tick that box. It's something we should strive to do. It should be something that stirs us up, that we want to serve others, because when we start to see others like Jesus saw others, mate, that's what we've been called here to do, is to serve those around us. Not to pretend to be something that we're not, but to strive to be like him each and every day. And so in Matthew, where it said that Jesus came to serve, not to be served, it's actually something we should want to do. Through serving, it shifts our focus off ourselves onto others. And we begin to see others as Jesus sees them. It's hard to be wrapped up in self and me, right, when we're serving others. A good friend of mine once said, he said, "I can't think of a better way to diminish the significance of my problems than to get the focus off myself and to place it on others." Right? When we serve others, it's a way that we're practically showing God's love to one another. It's a way that when we serve on a Sunday, it's a way that we can actually show love to one another, show God's love to people. When we are worshiping God, when we're serving others, we're giving worship to God. We're serving the ones that he loves, which we're worshiping God in that as well. Matthew 25 verses 40 says, "And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" See, when we're serving those around us, we're serving Jesus. How are you serving those around you? Are we being Jesus to those in our workplace, in our home life? Are we bare minimum workers, or are we imitating Christ? Now, I'm not talking about giving free hours to the boss. I'm not talking about, oh, Ray told me that to be more like Jesus, I need to work for free. That's not what I'm saying. But who you are in the workplace, is that imitating Christ? Or is that, or we just happy to knock on, knock off, and then I'll serve in the cafe on Sunday, and that's my box ticked, right? It's a confronting thought to think about, because what if your boss is a jerk? I have a privilege, my boss is not a jerk. It's good, I'm privileged. But I've had jerky bosses in the past, and sometimes to be Jesus to that jerk of a boss is a bit hard, right? It's a bit confronting, it's a bit tricky. But we're called to imitate Christ in every area of our lives. And so when we start to see people like Jesus sees them, there comes joy with that, right? There comes joy with the opportunity to be able to serve those around us, to be able to bring those closer to him. Number two, serving increases our faith. I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes it feels like the little part that I play is so insignificant. The little thing that I have to do or I have to give can be so insignificant. Sometimes my ability and what I can do practically limits my faith in situations, because I think the little part that I have to play surely can't be worth anything. But when we tie our hearts to a greater purpose, imagine what we can do. It goes from ticking a box of what I can do to imagine what we can do when we're full of faith, when we're together and we've tied our heart to a greater purpose. What can we do? Ecclesiastes 4 verses 12 says, "And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." Serving for a greater purpose than just yourself and what you can get out of it, I promise you will bring you so much joy, because the little part that you have to play may seem like nothing, but when you partner with heaven, when you partner with those like-minded around us, imagine what we can do for God, right? Through serving, God gives us a front row seat of his power at work, right? It makes me think of the story in John where Jesus turns water into wine. I was reading that story, and the way that it's written and the way it talks, it's kind of like, makes me think that in that moment when that miracle was performed, the wedding party had no idea what was going on. They're just sitting there having a good time, having a party. And it was Jesus' mother Mary, and it was the servers there who witnessed this miracle. And it makes me wonder, it makes me think, imagine being one of those servers who you've got jugs full of water, and you're thinking, I'm about to go serve water to the bride and the groom, and I'm probably going to lose my job. It's going to be a horrible moment. And then we know Jesus steps in and turns the water into wine. Imagine being one of those servers where you're tipping out this jug of water to fill a glass up, and all of a sudden, it's not water, it's wine. Imagine walking into a situation thinking, what I'm about to do is not going to mean anything. What I'm about to do is useless. And then God steps in and does a miracle there. And all of a sudden, that water, imagine what it did for the faith of those serving at that wedding, seeing God's power firsthand at work. It's pretty incredible, right? Serving allows us to experience God's power firsthand. Over the Easter weekend, a couple of weeks ago, from Friday through to Sunday, we had over 1,000 people on site here at church. Right, that's pretty incredible. That in itself should get you pretty excited. More than that, we had over 1,000 people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ over the weekend. And on the Sunday alone, we had 650 people here in our two morning services. It's pretty cool, right? It's pretty cool. And I have the privilege at church here to be able to oversee all of our teams, from our hosting teams and helping with our connections and kids. It's pretty incredible. And so there were so many people who helped make that day happen at Easter. But one person I want to bring your attention to, I'm not sure if she's here this morning, but Beck Lowbridge, who was a part of our kids team on that Sunday morning. She was face painter, and she was painting faces on the little kids there. And Beck rocked up to church with some paint, and probably thought that the little part that she was playing painting kids' faces meant nothing, right? But imagine how many kids out of that 650, imagine how many kids were from families who don't know Jesus. Imagine how many kids were from who had never stepped foot in church, and that little bit of paint that Beck had was just that, was just paint. That little bit of water in the jug was just water, but in the hands of Jesus, it was a miracle waiting to happen. See, that little bit of paint that Beck had in her hands was paint to face paint on kids, but in the hands of Jesus is a miracle. You know, we've seen families come from Easter back to church following that as a result of being at church on Easter and having a great time. I was talking with a lady a couple of weeks ago at church. And I was just talking to her about how she made her way to church. How did you get to church? How are you still at church? And she talked about how she'd grown up church when she was younger and then had kind of been hurt by people at church and never brought back, and just felt to come to church one day and came to church and met our welcome team at the front door. And she was very hesitant because she'd been hurt by church before, and this was kind of her last attempt. And she met Lana Wilson at the welcome door on the way into church. And Lana shook her hands, looked her in the eyes and said, "Welcome to church. We're so excited you could be here." And she said that moment took her so off guard because she didn't expect that. And as a result of that, she said her heart was so open to the word by just a simple act of somebody welcoming them. And she gave her life to Jesus, back to Jesus in that moment, and has been back at church since then. That should stir faith in your heart. That the little part that you play, I bet you Lana wasn't thinking, when I shake this lady's hand, she's going to say yes to Jesus. But the little part that we play in the hands of Jesus is a miracle waiting to happen. It should stir your faith inside of you. I'm telling a lot of stories here this morning, but that's okay. I want to get the message across. You would have noticed that Christmas last year, we did a sensory-sensitive service. That's a tongue twister. On the Saturday before our Sunday, where we had families who have children with different challenges and stuff like that come along and be able to be a part of the Christmas experience there. And it was chaos. It wasn't organized chaos. It was chaos. Joe, you were here. It was chaos. And I remember singing "Go and Tell It on the Mountain" while dodging bits of foam as they go past my face flying. And I had kids stepping on my toes while I'm singing, and I had other kids trying to steal my microphone from me. It was hard work. And I remember sitting there singing going, why are we even doing this? This is chaos. Like, this is ridiculous. And then I rocked up to church the next day, and there was this family that were at the service the day before, came along and said, we just felt so welcomed and we had such a good time yesterday. We felt so loved by what your team did that we thought we need to be back in church the next day. And those people said yes to Jesus also, and they're actually still a part of our church, which is pretty awesome. It is so cool. Seeing God's power at work should stir something up inside of you. And when you get a first-hand opportunity, when you're serving, whether that's on a Sunday or in your workplace, when you're serving others, and you get to see God's power at work, that should stir faith up inside you. That's what brings joy. That's what brings joy. My third point this morning is serving surrounds us with people of faith. Now, I know earlier on I said I wasn't trying to get you on team. I wasn't talking about, but I am going to talk about serving in a church context right now because I think it's pretty important too. If I had to choose one word to describe how serving has changed my life, it would be community. You might have heard this real cheesy Christian saying over the years. It says, church should be enjoyed, not endured, right? And that's such a truth, right? Like, we were designed to do church. We were designed to do life with others. We're designed to do life with people around us, not alone. And Proverbs 27, verses 17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. See, serving should bring us joy in the way of friendships, relationships, community. When we're working alongside others, that's when we build those relationships and those connections with others. It was always a part of God's plan that we would work together in church, that we would serve together in church. That's why in Hebrews 10, it instructs us a bit, you know, it says, spur on one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another. We were always meant to do life together. We were always meant to serve alongside one another. I remember when I came back to church, I grew up in church my whole life. And then I walked away for a few years and came back. And I remember when I came back to church, I had no friends. Because all of my old friends that I had outside of church disowned me because I was a sellout who was becoming a Christian and a weirdo and all that business. And I came back into church and I just had no friends within church. And so when I came back to church, I was like, I need to make some friends because I feel like a bit of a loser right now, not having any friends. And so what I did was I joined the worship team. And then I joined our youth team as well. And for me, it was just because I needed to connect with people. I needed to make friends. And can I tell you now, those relationships that I made back then, you know, when I was a long time ago, when I was a bit younger, they're still lifelong friends. Now, I actually even met my wife when I came back to church and started serving on the worship team. And so if you're single here today, you're looking for a wife, join the serving team. It'll help you. That's not our motto. That's not our motto here. Just want to make that clear. It's not like, but it does happen, right? I've experienced it. So, but when I came, like, but being a part of a team connected me with other people of faith around me who were there to help encourage me, help lift me up, help spur me on. My relationship with Jesus has flourished so much more than I've got other people in my life I'm doing it with. Now that I get to share those victories, I get to share those wins, I get to share those moments of maybe even sadness or downcast, when I get to share those with those around me and serve with purpose with one another, mate, that does something, that brings so much joy to my heart, and it should bring joy to your heart too. Can I tell you right now, if you are new to church, you're newer to church, or maybe you're new to Christianity, join a team. The best way to get to know people is to jump on a team. The best way to get connected in is to jump on a team. If you're not sure what team to jump on, come and see one of the service leaders or guys on team out there, and we'd love to get connected in. But I want to encourage, don't do life alone. Don't do this journey alone. We were made to do it together. Come and jump on a team. We'd love to have you a part of it. If I can get our band to just come and join me real quick, it'd be great. Serving on team is so good for you. It does something in your spirit. It lifts your faith. It brings so much joy. And I don't know about you, but when I bring my gifts, my passions, my talents, and serve others, it builds so much confidence in myself. It helps me build confidence in who I am. It helps me build confidence in who God's called me to be and who God's released me to be. And I know you might be sitting here this morning, and we can make so many rational explanations for not serving, right? Like, I don't have time for it. I'm too old. I'm too young. I've just had a kid. I don't have any skills to contribute. See, God used similar men and women in similar situations that all through the Bible to change the course of history, right? And we think about Moses. Moses didn't see himself as a leader or a speaker, but God used him. God worked through Moses to bring Israel out of slavery. David, who was the youngest of all the brothers and the most, would say, the most insignificant, God used him to kill Goliath and become one of the greatest kings in Israel. Paul used to kill Christians before he met Jesus, but he went on to be one of the most highly regarded and prolific writers in the Bible and church planters in history. See, God just doesn't want to work through you. He wants to work in you. It's not about what you can do. It's about your heart to serve those around you. See, the reality is God doesn't want you to do more for him, right? He just wants more of your heart. And when you begin to give God more of your heart and you start to open your heart to what God wants to do and who he is, that's what opens up your heart to serving those around you. How can you serve those around you more today? And we've been talking a lot about serving and the easy thing is to talk about Sunday church and you sit there and you go, okay, Ray, I'll join the welcome team. I'll join a team. Don't worry, you can stop banging on about it now. I'm going to join a team. But go further than that. How can you serve those in your workplace? We talked about before about being a minimum worker or being somebody who serves those at your workplace. Can I tell you, if the sink at the staff kitchen is full of dishes, wash them up. Which we talked about before for myself and my situation. I came into work on a Saturday to help my boss clean after the great possum debacle of 2011, right? But what that did was open up an opportunity to be able to share Jesus with him. Something that started as something simple as cleaning up a warehouse turned into an opportunity to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. See, it's when we serve those around us in our workplace, in our home life, in our school, in our university, it's not just about what can I get now or what can, but what is God going to do with that? What is God going to do with the moment that I'm doing right now? And so when we serve those around us, it's not just about the immediate of what I'm doing to tick a box. It's about what is God going to use this moment for? What is God going to use this moment for in the future? And I hope you've been encouraged today. I can't say this enough. This is not me trying to get you on team. This is me just trying to share and encourage you with the joys that can come from serving. The joys that what God can do in your spirit, how your faith can rise when we're serving people, when we're serving Jesus, when we're treating those around us like Jesus would treat them, when we love those around us. And so I hope this morning you've been encouraged by that, and I hope that from today forth we can all go and just be thinking, what more can I do to serve you? How can I worship God in this moment here? It's not just about what we do on a Sunday, but it's about what are we doing each and every day to be more like Jesus, to serve those around us. And will you just stand with me this morning, church? We're going to do one more thing before we close service this morning. We do this each and every week here at church. I want to pray for people this morning who maybe you don't yet know Jesus Christ. And I've been talking about loving people the way that Jesus loves them and talk about serving those around us like Jesus did. And you're sitting here going, I don't even know who Jesus is. I just came with a friend because I thought it'd be a good time. This morning, I want to love an opportunity to be able to introduce you to Jesus, to pray a prayer with you, asking him to come into your heart. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, if that's you, as I've been preaching this morning, you've been asking the question, not how can I serve, but how can I meet Jesus? How can I be a part of his family that you keep talking about? And like I said, I'd love the opportunity to be able to pray with you this morning. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, if that is you this morning, I'm going to get you just in a moment to pop your hand up really quickly. And that's not to embarrass you, but it's just so I know who I'm praying with this morning. And you can quickly pop your hand up and you can put it back down again. But I would love an opportunity to be able to pray with you this morning, inviting Jesus into your heart. So if that's you this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed here, would you just pop up and give me a little wave this morning? I'd love an opportunity to be able to pray with you. Now, God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. He's never forsaken you. He's never left you. Is there anybody this morning? Nope, that's awesome. God, I thank you so much, Father. Lord, that each and every day you call us closer to you, God, that each and every day, Father, you're drawing closer to us, Lord, that we might know you more, Lord, that we might be imitators of you, God. Help us each and every day, each and every one of us, God, to be more like you, Father. Lord, would you help give us opportunities, God, to be able to serve those around us? Father, that this week, Lord, as we leave this morning, God, that you would give us opportunities to be able to serve those in our world, Lord, Father, that we would find joy in serving those around us, God. We thank you so much, Lord, for what you've done in this place this morning, God, and what you're going to continue to do in the lives of our church. And Father, we thank you, Lord, and we give you all the praise and all the honor this morning. In your mighty name, amen.
Thanks for joining us. We pray that you and your family are richly blessed by the love and grace of Jesus. If you're ever in the area, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship.